I know in just a few minutes we will be feasting upon a wonderful meal together. I appreciate this congregation. I appreciate the ladies who always do a wonderful job in cooking up a meal. Look forward to this time where we can spend time with the brethren and share a meal. It's something that the Scriptures do encourage, but for just a few minutes we want to take some time and feast upon the Word of God. You know, as we open up the Word of God this morning, we need to remember that God's Word is our spiritual food. And as newborn babes, we should desire the sincere milk of God's Word that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse number 2. You know, there are a lot of people that have grown up in the church, but they've never grown in Christ. And what I mean by that is there are people who've been Christians for a long period of time, but spiritually speaking, they never developed like they should. You know, as we hear that point, it should remind us of a context that we're familiar with in Hebrews chapter 5, 11 through 14. And I'm not going to read that context. It's a familiar context. But in Hebrews 5, verse 12, the writer says, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers..." You stop and think about what the inspired writer is saying in Hebrews 5, verse number 12. He is talking about their spiritual growth. Obviously, a time had passed since they had become Christians, but they failed to grow spiritually. And if we're honest with ourselves, we will admit that a lack of spiritual growth is detrimental to our soul. You see, as we think about a lack of spiritual growth, immaturity, it produces several things. It produces mediocrity. A lack of spiritual growth will produce indifference, apathy, spiritual stagnation, none of which are pleasing to our God. In Hebrews 10, verse 38, the writer says, speaking of God, that the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, God says, my soul has no pleasure in that individual. God doesn't want us to draw back spiritually speaking. This really reminds us of the children of Israel in Jeremiah 7, verse 24, where God's prophet said this about the people. They went backwards and not forward. As we pointed out in Bible class this morning, if we're growing spiritually speaking, according to Philippians 3, verse number 14, we're going to press toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As you know, there are numerous passages in the New Testament that emphasize spiritual growth. I truly believe we see that being emphasized in the Great Commission. Maybe we may not connect that with the Great Commission, but if you look at the Great Commission closely, you see that spiritual growth is tied into the Great Commission. In the Great Commission, we're to go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the remission of their sins. But Jesus then would go on to say, teaching them. After one becomes a Christian, Jesus says, you continue to teach them. You taught them before they became a Christian. And Jesus says, you continue to teach them. That is spiritual growth. After baptism, a person needs to add to their faith, 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And then Peter is going to list out several things that we should be adding to our faith. Things like virtue, moral courage that enables us to do that which is right, knowledge, temperance, godliness, patience, brotherly kindness. These are things that we add to our faith that comes through spiritual growth. A person may ask, why should I grow? Why bother growing as a New Testament Christian? In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 15, we can see that if we're not growing up in Christ, we're going to be tossed around, carried about every wind of doctrine. If we're not growing, we're going to be confused. If we're not growing, we're going to be tossed around as the Holy Spirit revealed to the Apostle Paul. And so we see throughout the Scriptures, and there are many more contexts that we can turn to, that spiritual growth is emphasized throughout the New Testament. With our time this morning, we want to consider some important reasons, though, for why we should grow. It's obvious from the Scriptures that we are to grow. We are commanded to grow. But for just a few minutes, we want to consider some reasons for why we should grow as New Testament Christians. First of all, it brings glory to God. You see, when we grow, when we mature, when we develop spiritually speaking, it brings glory to God. That is what a Christian is supposed to do with his life. Bring glory to God. In other words, we are to live in a way that honors and magnifies our great God. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. As you're turning over to John chapter 15, I want to mention John 15 verse 8 because it's a familiar verse where Jesus said in John 15 verse number 8, "Here is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit." When we bear fruit, when we produce as New Testament Christians, that is, when we bring about the product of right living, we honor God. We magnify God. We bring glory to God. You see that in John 15 verse 8. But when you read John 15 1 through 8, you see that there is a process that is involved in bearing fruit which brings glory to God. It doesn't happen by accident. There is a process. And just read with me, beginning at John 15. We won't read all 8 verses, but let's just read the first few verses. Jesus said in John 15, verse 8, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit," listen to the language, "he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." And verse 3 to me is really key to understanding this context where Jesus said in verse 3, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Notice that. You are clean through the word. Spiritually speaking, we go through a purging process. That has to do with spiritual growth, you see. And by the way, I believe this same process is seen in Colossians chapter 1 verse 9 and also Philippians 1 verse 9. In Colossians 1 verse 9, you have Paul's prayer for the brethren at Colossae, and Paul has their spiritual growth, their spiritual well-being in mind when he says, "I want you to grow in knowledge and take that knowledge and treat it with wisdom and spiritual understanding that you might walk worthy of the Lord, being fruitful in every good thing and growing closer to God." That's the gist of what we see in Colossians 1, 9 and 10, and also Philippians 1, verse 9 and 10. Paul is praying again for their spiritual growth, and he mentions that process. We study God's Word. We take God's Word and we see how it applies to us, and we make application. When we do that, we go through a purging process. Our lives are changing. God's Word is correcting us. God's Word is guiding us. It's instructing us. It's teaching us how to live. I like the attitude that you see in Psalm 143 verse 10 where David says, "Lord, teach me to do Thy will." And if we will all have that attitude, "Lord, teach me to do Thy will," if we will grow in an understanding of God's Word, and when we make the application of God's Word, we learn from John 15, 1 through 8, that we bring glory to God. And so why should we grow? Because it brings glory and honor to our God. Let's turn to another context, another familiar context in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, really 1 through 3, we learn that as Christians we have identity. We belong to God. We are God's adopted children. We are His sons and we are His daughters. And so Paul establishes that in chapters 1 through 3. A lot of people look at that as the doctrinal aspect of unity, chapters 1 through 3. But look at Ephesians 3, verse number 21, where Paul says, "Unto Him be glory in the church." That's the church's responsibility, the church's mission, to bring glory to God. You can't do that outside of Christ. You cannot do that if you're not a member of the church of Christ, the body of Christ. The only way that we can be in a position to bring glory to God is by being a faithful member in the church. How do you know that? Because as we continue to read the rest of the book of Ephesians, we see in chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, Paul emphasizes how we should live as New Testament Christians. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 17, Paul says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." And then he talks about how they live. Notice with me verse number 18. "And the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." And by the way, verse 19, these individuals that Paul is describing are living so ungodly, they don't care. Their conscience has become seared with a hot iron. He says in verse 19, "who being past feeling have given themselves over to much lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." Look at verse 20. "But ye had not so learned Christ." If you live like the world, you haven't grown in Christ. You haven't developed as a New Testament Christian. This is what Paul is emphasizing throughout the book of Ephesians. He talks about our identity, who we are in Christ Jesus. And then chapters 4 through 6, he teaches us how to live as New Testament Christians. And so why should we grow? Why should we mature and develop as the children of God? Because it brings glory to God. Look at one more verse in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. "For ye were sometimes darkness." Paul says, at one time you were in the world, you live according to the world, you fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by habitual practice the children of God's wrath. The language of Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. You were in darkness at one time. But look at what he says in the rest of verse 8. "But now ye are light in the Lord. Walk, live as children of light." And as I said, that's not going to happen by accident. There's a process by which we go through. And we go through that process of spiritually maturing, spiritually growing in God's Word, making the application of God's Word. It brings glory to God. Why should we mature? Why should we grow in the grace? Why should we develop spiritually speaking? We can see from the Scriptures, it glorifies God. You can't glorify God if you're not growing as a New Testament Christian. And you're the one that has to make that decision. You're the one that has to look at your life individually and ask and consider this question: am I growing? Am I spiritually developing? Or have I become spiritually stagnant? Listen, I want to glorify God, and I want to be in a position that brings glory and honor to my God. And if I'm going to do that, I have to grow spiritually speaking. Secondly, why should we grow? Secondly, it verifies regeneration. Think about that. It verifies, that is, spiritual growth verifies regeneration. We mentioned the Great Commission already. And you see that in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. You go and you teach all nations, baptizing them. And Jesus says, once they're baptized, you continue to teach them how to live. And when we allow God through His Word to teach us how to live the language of Titus 2, verse 12, soberly and godly and righteously in this present world, it verifies conversion. It verifies regeneration. Let me just talk about regeneration very quickly. Open your Bibles to Titus chapter 3. Maybe you're wondering, well, what does that word regeneration mean? Is it even found in the Bible? It's found in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Verse number 5. Paul is making a point here. We're not saved by meritorious works. We're not saved by works that we have devised. And there is a difference between meritorious works and works of righteousness. When a person hears the gospel, believes the gospel, when a person repents of their sins and confesses Christ and is baptized into Christ, they're not devising their own plan of salvation. They're not trying to save themselves through meritorious works. They're simply doing what God says. And Paul will make that point. We're not saved by works of righteousness, which we have done. Remember the Jews, Romans 10, 1 through 3. They were going about to, Paul says, to establish their own system of righteousness. And he makes the point. They have not, speaking about the Jews, they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Notice the contrast. They're going about devising their own system of righteousness, and therefore Paul says they have not submitted to God's system of righteousness. They have not obeyed the gospel. Paul is making the same point. We're not saved by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. And notice how He saves us. Verse number 5, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. This is all seen in the process of conversion. By regeneration, you might write down John 3, 1 through 5, where Jesus talks about that spiritual birth, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then Jesus explains how one is born again. Nicodemus didn't quite get it, so Jesus explains it to him. Except a man be born of water and of spirit. And you see those two things right here in Titus chapter 3 verse 5. He cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, when a person is baptized into Christ, their sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when a person's sins have been washed away, the language of Romans 6 verse 4, they come up out of the watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's regeneration. And that takes place when a person obeys the gospel. But you can see from those verses that when a person is baptized into Christ, when their sins are washed away, everything about them changes. Their spiritual state changes. No longer are they dead. They are now alive in Christ Jesus. But not only does their spiritual state change, their whole life changes. The way they talk, the way they act, the way that they dress, all of that should be obvious. It should be clear that when we obey the gospel, we change. A change takes place in conversion. As Paul said in Ephesians 5 verse 8, a passage that we've already looked at, you were in darkness, but now ye are children of the light. Walk, live as children of light. When we do that, it verifies regeneration. That's why we should grow. We should grow as God's children because, number one, it glorifies God. And number two, it verifies regeneration. And thirdly, and I realize point two and point three go hand in hand, but thirdly, it adorns truth. It gives you the opportunity to literally wear the truth of God so others can see it. Listen, we don't want to just sit here today and hear God's Word. We want to hear God's Word and we want to be receptive. We want to have a good and honest heart. We want to be like the Bereans who search the Scriptures to see if what is being preached is so in accordance with the Scripture. But we want to wear the truth. We want to put it on. We want to adorn the doctrine of God. In Titus chapter 2, verse number 10, you'll remember the context has to do with servants being obedient to their masters. And Paul says, when a servant is obedient to their master, Notice the language. They adorn the doctrine of God. They adorn the doctrine of God. That's what we're emphasizing. When we grow spiritually speaking, it adorns truth. It gives us the opportunity to wear the truth, to put it on so others can see us. I believe one of the greatest contexts for this point would be found in Colossians chapter 3. And I know you're familiar with this context, but just notice the language in Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 8. But now ye also put off all of these things. And then Paul is going to list out several things. Notice the language that we are to put off. Some have described it like a piece of filthy garment that we remove from our body. And he talks about, verse 8, what we are to put off. Notice these things, because these are probably things we all struggle with. Anger, wrath, malice, Paul says there in verse 8, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have, listen to it again, seeing that you have put off these things. Paul says those things described you before you became a Christian. Now that you've obeyed the gospel, you adorn the doctrine. You wear the doctrine. You put on the truth of God's Word. You yoke yourself with the teaching of Jesus Christ. And we see that contrast. You put off the old man, but look at verse number 10, and you put on, notice it, the new man. You see, in spiritual growth, there is a putting off, and there is a putting on. And that's why it grows. It verifies regeneration. But thirdly, it adorns the truth. And then finally, as we think about this last point, reasons why we should grow, it grants you assurance. I believe this last point is a very, very important point. A point that maybe we may not think about enough. As you think about spiritual growth, taking time to grow, to study God's Word, to pray, to devote yourself to God. When you do that, when there's spiritual progress in your life, it grants you assurance. Again, when there's spiritual progress in your life, it gives you assurance. And there's one thing that all of us need, and that is assurance. Blessed assurance is mine. I can have that assurance. You can have that assurance. And as we think about that assurance helps us understand that we belong to God. And we can know that we belong to God because we see God working in us. The language of Philippians chapter 2, "For it's God that worketh in us both to will and to do His good pleasure." God has a part in our spiritual growth, no question, but we also have a part in our spiritual progress. But God's going to do His part, and when we do our part, it brings us closer to God. We draw near to God, He will draw near to us. And so through that spiritual progress, we gain assurance. We can know that we're going to go to heaven. Who wants to know that this morning? I know I want to know that. And God tells me I can know that. And let me show you this. Last verse we'll look at, or last context we'll look at. Notice, if you would, 2 Peter chapter 1. I mentioned 2 Peter at the very beginning. There are some things that we are to add to our faith. 2 Peter 1, verse number 5. And Peter is going to list out those things. Things like virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness. And don't forget love. A lot of times love is the beginning here. Love is at the end. Love is important. And then in verse number 8. For if, notice all of this is conditional if we do our part. If these things be in you and abound, Peter says, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. We've established that already. Why we should grow? Because it brings glory to God. He that is doing these things shall not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord in Jesus Christ. We're leading up to something here, verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins, his past sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, this is where it gets good, verse 10, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. I love that part. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. You shall never stumble. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, when we follow this spiritual progress of growing in our understanding of God's Word, making the application, developing spiritually speaking, we not only bring glory to God, but we also gain assurance. We can know that we can go, we're going to heaven. There are a lot of Christians that I'm convinced that are unsure of where they will be in eternity. God doesn't want us to live that way. I would also say that if we don't have that assurance, we are going to be the most miserable individual here upon this earth. And God doesn't want His children to be miserable. God wants His people to have assurance, confidence. In 1 John 5, verse number 11, the Apostle John is writing, "These things I write unto you, that ye may know assurance that you have eternal life, and that eternal life is in His Son." I hope this lesson will encourage you this morning to make every effort on your part to grow, to cultivate that kind of heart that has a sincere desire to grow up in Jesus Christ. Remember how we started. There are a lot of Christians who've grown up in the church, but they've never grown in Christ. Have that sincere desire to grow in Christ. Set your mind on the things that are above. And remember, as you think about spiritual growth, it doesn't happen overnight. And it doesn't happen by accident. There is a process that we go through. And we have to be patient with ourselves because it takes time to grow. We see that with a little child. For a few months, old William, you remember, he was always in the arms of somebody. But look at how that little boy has developed and how he can just run around, spiritually speaking. That's an object lesson. And you think about it. That's the kind of progress that we need to make, spiritually speaking. But again, we have to be patient. And it takes a lot of hard work to grow. But God can work with each one of us. And God, I promise you, will do His part. Let's make up our minds this morning. From here on out, we are going to develop. We are going to grow closer to God because it brings glory to God. It verifies regeneration. It gives us the opportunity to adorn the doctrine of Christ. And we want to grow spiritually speaking because it grants us assurance that we are the children of God and heaven someday will be our home. If you never obeyed the gospel, you could begin that process this morning by obeying the gospel, by becoming a child of God, hear His Word, unite it with faith, repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you will become a new person in Christ Jesus. And after your conversion, make that determination. From here on out, I'm going to develop. And may God help all of us who are Christians to challenge ourselves to develop spiritually speaking. If we're a Christian, if we need encouragement, if we need to repent of sins, if there's anything that we can do this morning to assist you spiritually speaking, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.